This episode was sponsored by Critical Dice and the Endless Bag of Dice.
Welcome to the Compendium, a resource designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
So next I want to talk about a challenge. Number one challenge of another person was players that preferred to solve everything with violence, also known as murder hobos.
Yeah, I choose violence.
And I mean, this is multifaceted because it's not just murder hobos. It's the people that forget that there could be deeper level of story. Mm-hmm. And I've had this happen in one of my campaigns where like all these people, I had all this information they were going to give them about what's going on in the story. And they just obliterated everyone. And I was left in the weird position of like, well, you killed everyone that could have told you this. And so now I don't know how to give you this information. And the story's not going to make sense. And you're not going to be able to progress. So what do I do? Because you killed them all. And so how do you guys handle that, you know, either from the sake of people that are just like combat enthusiasts and just want to murder hobo versus the people that are just like kill first, ask questions later? Have you run into this? Like, what do you usually do to manage it?
I like the alternate term for murder hobo is combat enthusiast. That's really good.
I like that. So this is a great question, and this is like a very well-known problem. So two ways that I always deal with it is, number one, you can always recycle content. You can always keep what you had in store for those people and implement it later down the road in a different light or whatever. Once again, don't be so married to your notes and your content that you can't deviate from it. So you can always recycle content. But number two, enforce consequences. So going back to one of my players, you know, the one that Natalia, who really likes backstory involvement, they did this. They murder hoboed a bunch of people, didn't question anybody, and I even warned them about it. Make sure you gather intelligence. And then so 5 or 6 sessions later, they found out that one of that piece of advice that they told them to is, hey, go check the dungeon. And Natalia found out that her sister was a prisoner there. And then they even had it written down their notes, and like they even knew that it was said, they remembered it, and they're just like, are you kidding? We missed that? And then it was just this kind of like aha moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is about teaching the table that you're at the expectations, right? And you can do that directly, but you also can do it indirectly. And there's a force way and a finesse way of doing it. If you want to like give them kind of cute names, you can do the finesse way, which is like the friendly monster. And the brute force way is the kung fu master. So the friendly monster, I do this a lot in my Monster of the Week game, where I go out of my way early on to show them that not all the things that are like the monsters are fighting are really monsters. So there's always two options, that there is an opportunity to befriend a foe and defeat them that way, and to murder a foe and defeat them that way. One gains you an ally, one just kind of is fun.
Both gain you XP in most circumstances, people. Yes, that is important. Everyone remember this DM tip. You will probably get XP whether or not you kill the creature. It's not dependent on murdering.
Right. So, I mean, you could set up in the very first session or in a new arc or a new campaign that, you know, the guy that they're fighting, who's like, you know, the leader of the, you know, the Knoll army that's going to be attacking the town, who in the midst of the end of the battle, he just gives up and starts crying. And they're like, I am no longer having fun. This is awkward. And he like asked for their help because he was forced into this because the real bad guy has his family or something like that, right? Where they realize that, well, we don't trust this guy, but he had his own motivations, which now we know them are justifiable in his circumstance. And so maybe there is a reason to talk to a bad guy or talk to a foe to kind of understand where they're coming from. And sometimes DMs, we shoot ourselves in the foot and we don't give our bad guys motivations. A goblin's just a goblin, an orc's just an orc, a mimic's just a mimic. There are variants in older editions of smart mimics that can talk to you. You know, like, because they don't have a rich inner life, the players start to expect through osmosis that there's no rich inner life, so why would we talk to them? They're simply there for me to stick sharp pieces of metal into. So why would I talk to them? So you could teach them the passive way, the kind of, is your dog giving you trouble?
There was a, I have it right on my shelf over here. Jason actually gifted this book to me.
Oh.
It's called Know Your Monster, or The Monsters Know What They're Doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, we did an interview with Keith, actually. It was fabulous.
Yes. The author, yeah.
That's a great book, and it does provide a lot of perspective with stuff like that, which is another awesome way to do it.
And then the other way, on the other side of that spectrum, is the Kung Fu Master, kind of taking a cue from, this is the brute force way to teach them a lesson, going from old school Kung Fu movies, where the hotshot punk protagonist, who's not ready yet, thinks he is, and challenges the Kung Fu Master, and just trounces the guy, just trounces the hero, until he decides to finally give up and learn what the master has to teach. And so you can have a bad guy who has information, who you just have basically statted up so he can't be defeated, and will just like knock out the whole party. And they're like, did you just TPK us? It's like, well, actually, a few hours later, you guys all wake up, and the guy's just sitting on the chair waiting for you guys to wake up. And you can see some of your bandages, your wounds have been bandaged. You can taste like healing potion on your lips. And he says, are you ready to talk now? Have you learned your lesson? And they attack him again. He can just do it again until they realize, like, okay, we can't beat this guy. And he clearly could destroy us, but he's not. So, all right, what is it that you have to tell us? So it's a very overt way of teaching your party that sometimes the bad guys have things to tell you, and the solution isn't always murder. So yeah, there's a couple of ways to just set that expectation and break that cycle of murder hobodom.
It's a word now.
We're coming up with all kinds of new terms in this episode.
Yeah, that's gonna be a great clip for Instagram. All right.
I would totally second that, though. If you ever do need to, I don't want to say bring your players down a notch, you know, because you want to bring like good energy to the table.
Yeah,
healthy dose of reality.
Yeah, yeah, you want to be a fan of your players for sure, but like sometimes you gotta like recalibrate.
I'm exactly. A fan of my child, but sometimes he needs to get hurt to understand why he shouldn't do something.
Yeah, don't exactly. Climb on the counter. Yeah,
sometimes you gotta touch the stove to know it's hot, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. See, same principle here. Thanks for equipping the compendium. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so already, since new episodes are published every Tuesday and Friday, or Monday and Thursdays if you guys are a patron on our Patreon account. If you enjoy listening each week, a great way to help support the show outside of contributing to Patreon is just by sharing a link to this episode with a friend. We hope to see you back in a few days for our next episode, where we will be continuing our discussion, delving further into the wonderful world of D&D.